We always do open lines and mini readings on Saturdays, but occasionally we have a mini topic, and today we're going to talk about the court from the tarot court, and the master numbers. This is always one of my favorite topics to chat about, Mary.
Yes, the tarot court cards, I'll tell you. Those are the ones that, you know, it's funny how, you know, when you look at, you know, tarot reading and when people are learning to do it, you know, for some reason, court cards are one area where people seem to get a little bit hung up or confused or have a hard time with it. So I think this is a great topic to talk about today.
Can you start the conversation out of your thoughts on the court cards and how people, you know, have difficulty with them and why they have difficulty with them?
Right. Well, I think, you know, part of it is like, you know, especially when you're working with the Rider-Waite-Smith, you know, and you're dealing with the minor specifically, you know, you've got, to me, the court cards are a little bit like the aces in that you just have a figure, you know, with the court cards. You just have a figure sitting there, and you can kind of look at kind of how they're sitting, how the body's positioned, what direction they're facing, what kind of little things are around them. You can get some clues from that. But they're not generally, maybe with the exception of the knights, which seem to denote movement, generally they're just sitting there or they're just standing there in the case of the pages. And so for a lot of people, it's just like, there's a person, you know, and it's not, you know, compared to like, say something, you know, in the minor suits of like, you know, you look at the fives or you look at the twos and you get an idea of a scene and something happening in that scene. And there's a lot more to read into it. And like I said, to me, they're a little bit like the aces in that way, because usually with the aces, you see like the suit element and, you know, one example of it, like you see a coin or you see a sword or you see a cup and you might see a disembodied hand depending on what deck you're using. But again, there's not a lot to read into it. So I think that that's part of why people get caught up in it. And then also there's a lot of, you know, different traditional ways of looking at the court cards that, you know, sometimes they just don't work for every meeting. Right? You know, if you have, say, the Queen of Cups come up, and you think of it in terms of like, okay, a water sign woman, okay, you know, and if that doesn't necessarily relate, then you've got to kind of think about, well, what does the Queen of Cups represent? What kind of woman is this? If it doesn't have to do with what their astrological sign may be, you know, what characteristics come up. And, you know, I had a funny experience doing a reading not that long ago for a client. And I think it was the Queen of Swords that came up. And she's like, oh, you know, that's him. I'm like, who? And she's like, well, you know, the Queen of Swords to me is always a gay man. And I'm like, okay, well, that's outside the, you know, a lot of the, you know, traditional interpretations you might get for that. But I think that that's a good example of how it happens a lot, that we start to, some of us start to associate the court cards, or at least some of the court cards, with individual personality types or individual characteristics of a person. And sometimes we can get really fixed in that. So I think that it kind of can give people trouble because, okay, if you ask like a question that has nothing to do with, you know, any particular people at all, say you want to know something,
exactly,
like one of the bigger, you know, like one of the bigger questions sometimes we ask on our psychic spins, like what's the purpose of the universe? And say we get the King of Swords, you know, well, how do we look at that if that's the card that comes up? Is the purpose of the universe, you know, an air sign man? Is that, you know, in a position of authority? You know, is he a lawyer, you know? So I think that that's part of it. So I think it's going to be really interesting, your technique, you know, for all of us to learn a bit more about your technique with the master numbers, because to me that seems like that, you know, really kind of gives us a lot more freedom when looking at the court card. So I'm excited to hear about it.
That was an awesome introduction you just gave, you know, and yeah, I think that is one of the big hang-ups that people have, is because they are too stringently looking at those court cards as people. And I honestly, you know, when I'm doing readings, that comes up a lot. I mean, that they are people. Yes, it's true. And they'll make appearances and indicate, you know, various players involved in the question and different things along those lines. But they can be so many other things. They don't have to just be people. And so if it doesn't fit into the narrative of the reading that you're doing, there's other ways to look at it. And a lot of authors and teachers have talked about this in various books and courses and so forth like that. My take on it is I'm looking at it from a numerological perspective, because as I've said on the show many times before, when I first got into really studying tarot, I had already been studying sacred geometry and numerology for a long time. So, you know, we're going back decades and decades and decades and decades. And showing our age here, Mary, when I, you know, I had always known about the tarot cards and, you know, had an interest, but I never really deeply studied it. And it was a friend of mine that actually really got me going, where it was on my birthday. He bought me the Dragon Tarot. It was the first deck I ever had, and it was gifted to me too, which I love.
Cool.
He also had a lot of books. He had a lot of books on tarot too, so he loaned me all those books, and I started studying it and started looking at the cards. And, you know, it hit me right away, Mary, that, oh, look, this is a system based on sacred geometry and numerology. And
right up your alley.
Yeah. But if you hadn't studied that prior, if you came to tarot first and you go through and you learn, and people come across the connections to numerology later, normally that's how it normally happens. For me, it was flipped the other way around. So it was much more obvious. And when I got into teaching tarot 20 some years ago, I incorporated that right away. In fact, my course is called Tarot by the Numbers just for that reason. And I separate the deck out by the numbers, all the one cards, the two cards, the three cards, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine in traditional numerology. And there are 10 cards, but they reduce down. So 1 + 0 = 1. So the 10 cards in the minor arcana are actually 1. And then you've got the major arcana cards, which you have the full numbered 0, but it's also the 22nd card, the master builder number. You can look at it that way. You've got the cards numbered 1 through 21. So if we look at the world card 21, 2 + 1 = 3, you would group that in with the threes. And card 18, you would group in with the nines and so forth. And so that's how I divided it up. But what do you do about the court cards? Because there's no numbers on the court cards. And so most people say there's no numerological association. But as I worked with it more, it dawned on me, oh, wait, we're forgetting about the master numbers. And, of course, you can go back in our archive. You can search master numbers. We've done a few shows talking about master numbers before, and I'm not going to go in-depth into the master numbers. There's a lot of master numbers and a lot more than most numerologists actually even talk about. In fact, you're hard-pressed to find information beyond 11, 22, sometimes 33, almost never 44. And of course, it goes all the way up to 99, and then also triple digits, you know, 111, 444. Those are master numbers. We call them angel numbers, but those are master numbers, and it goes all the way up to 9 digits. So 9999999 is a master number, yes. And we go more in depth on that topic in other shows, and of course in my course. You can take my Tarot by the Numbers course, and it includes all the numerology, the master numbers, and of course tarot. You get a strong foundation in both. You can learn all this stuff. But what we're talking about today, I realize that the common master numbers that people talk about, 11, 22, sometimes 33, and rarely do they ever talk about 44, but that's the master manifestor number, that they match up perfectly with the court cards, with the pages, the knights, the queens, and the kings. Now, at first, when I was looking at this, Mary, and trying to figure this out, I looked at different ways to number these cards by, you know, extending the numbers. For instance, typically you start with the ace card one, through 10 in the minor suits, the individual suits. You know, think of playing cards, folks, if you're not in the tarot. And then the court cards come after that, page, knight, queen, king. So ace through king is the normal way people would lay out a suit, Mary.
Uh-huh.
And so some of the initial ideas I had were things like, okay, well, if we're going, you know, through the numbered cards, 1 through 10, and then page is the next card, well, that would be 11, and then 12, 13, 14. You know, 12 for the knights, 13 for the queens, 14, because there's 14 cards in a suit, 14 for the kings. But when you look at that from a numerological standpoint, when you just look at the numbers, it doesn't match up. 11 does kind of match up with the pages, but then when you go 12, okay, 2 plus 1 is 3. Okay, so 3 and the knights. And then 13, 1 plus 3 is 4, structure. 4 and the queens, and then 14, 1 plus 4 is 5, and 5 is the number of change in numerology. It's also sometimes called the chaos number. That doesn't fit the kings either. But then I did remember how 11 matched up with the energy of the page. 11 reduces to 2, and 11 is the master illuminator number. So learnings and messages and information, and we know that the pages are associated with those things. And then it dawned on me, it's like, oh wait, 11 is a master number. It's the master illuminator number. Well, what happens if I look at the association between 22, 33, and 44, 22 for the knights, 33 for the queens, 44 for the kings. It all fell into place then, Mary.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've got the master illuminator number 11, which matches up perfectly with the pages. 22 is the master builder number. And that fits really well with the knights. It reduces to 4, which is structure. 2 plus 2 is 4. And the knights, besides their associations, when we're talking about the knights as a person or a quality of yourself, which is how it's taught normally in tarot to people, it can also be projects and building things. And you know, think of the knights in general. You know, knights go out and are action takers, they're doers, they go out and do things, accomplish things, create things, build things. Matches up with that 22 master builder number energy so well. And then the queens, let's look at the queens. You've got 33. 33 is the master builder, the master teacher, master healer number. And we often associate those qualities with the queens, that healing energy, that nurturing energy. It's similar to the master illuminator number 11, which is, you know, teaching and learnings, but this is at another level. This is at a higher level, more mass teaching, if that makes sense. And I just feel that that fits in really well with the queens. And then the kings, 44, the master manifester number. I mean, this is the ultimate. 4 plus 4 is 8. 8 is the number of abundance in numerology. You know, the kings are the highest penultimate pinnacle of manifestation and abundance amongst the minor arcana. And it just fits so perfectly.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you're doing a reading and you get a court card, right away you can go, okay, page 11 or queen 33 or knight 22, king 44. And if it's representing a person, you know, with the surrounding cards and what the question was, you're going to get that, you know, the traditional ways of looking at the court cards. But if you're stuck, if you're thinking, okay, you know, this is just not fitting what's going on with the cards in the spread, you can take a look at the master number for that card. Does that fit? Does that make it make more sense? There's another thing that's great about this too, Mary, looking at it this way, is that if you do spreads where you have an outcome card or a timing card, and you know, for some readers, they would get a court card and you're frustrated. There's no number. How do I do timing? You know,
right.
Okay, I can look at the suit and I can think, you know, okay, this is associated with fall and this is associated with spring or summer or winter, you know, the different suits and so forth like that, but there's no number. Well, now you've got numbers to work with. You can at it literally. Yeah, you can look at it literally like a page being 11, or reduce it. 1 plus 1 is 2. So you're talking 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 months, whatever, when you're doing timing. Or you can just take it literally too as well. I mean, 33, a queen shows up, you know, that could be 6 days away. That could be 33 days away. So a month and a few days, you know. There's a lot of ways of looking at it. It depends on how you want to use the cards. But this just gives you a different way of looking at the court cards. It gives you more ammunition, more information, and it helps out people, especially if you are big into numerology and you're looking at the tarot and you don't know what to do with the court cards. This solves that dilemma for you.
Wow. And you know what else it makes me think of too is that, you know, some people, not everybody, but some people like the idea of using a significator, a card to represent themselves in a reading. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the traditional way of choosing a significator would be to either, you know, pick a card that represents the theme or the subject of the reading. But if you're picking a card for yourself, you were usually just left with, okay, you know, based on your age and your astrological sign, like pick one of the court cards. And so, you know, I hear all the time people would be like, well, my court card should be the Queen of Wands, but I don't feel like that. But if they look at the numerology instead, they may find that they better relate to a different card. So that's another thing that you could use it for.
Absolutely. And, you know, I like to leave it up to people to play around with these things and develop their own ideas about it, you know, and use it in the way that they want to use it. You know, I'm not saying that the way I use it or the interpretation that I have, you know, is the end all or be all. And but play with it yourself, work with it, see if it fits into your dynamic. If you're already a reader, or even if you're just learning, it's even better if you're just learning, right, Mary? That you can associate this
yeah.
along with everything else. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's,
so that's
very
all
helpful,
I
think.
Yeah. Let's see. And Renee in the chat here, I'm calling it the chat, the comments on the Facebook Live. Brilliant on 11 page, 22 knight, 33 queen, 44 king. Yeah. And, you know, I have yet to see or hear anybody teaching tarot talk about this, Mary.
I just you. You're the only one that I've heard,
yep.
you know, bring this up, and I think it's terrific because, again, you know, it's like four cards, you know, can be, you know, kind of a head scratcher for a lot of people. So this is terrific.
And there's a lot more that could be said, and a lot more that can be analyzed and looked at. But I'm just going to leave that to the course, folks. And you have questions on this, and you want to chat about it, I'm always available on Facebook and Skype and so forth, and we can jump on and chat. So I hope this helps some people out there, and you have fun with it.
Yeah.